ਨਾ ਚੌਕੇ ਤੋਂ ਵੱਧ ਆਪਣੀਆਂ ਉਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਹੀ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਤ੍ਰਿਪੁਰਾ ਦੇ ਮੁੱਖ ਮੰਤਰੀ ਸ਼੍ਰੀ ਕੁਮਾਰ ਦੇਵ ਜੀ
Gospel time for Radio Akwaba. My name is Kizito, and I'm gonna be your host for today.
Oh Lord, my God, I trust.
It says, "Our God reigns." By Pastor Bosola Martins.
Principalities,
I'm so grateful
that Lord, you reign, you reign, you reign.
praise our God reigns. Indeed, our God reigns. You are listening live to Radio Akwaba. Coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.6. It is gospel time. That was fantastic, beautiful from Pastor Busola Martins from LCCG Victory House, New Zealand. And there's no one called, it says Arabaribiti. Let's check it out. Arabaribata. Hey. Arabaribiti. Today my Nigerian accent is coming. Eba. Arabaribiti. It says, my God is great and mighty. That is the meaning of the word, Arabaribiti. All right, so if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the gospel time of the Radio Akwaba coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.6. And I've just got the purpose preacher in our mix who is preparing to give us the word. As we wait for the man of God to give us the message, just dance off with the Arabaribiti song. Arabaribiti. So this is the gospel time on Radio Akwaba, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.6. And with me here now is the purpose preacher, the one and only purpose preacher. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
All right. So thank you all for joining us. And thank you, man of God, for coming.
Thank you.
So what have you got for us for today?
Today I'll be talking about a word that God has laid on my heart that I've titled it Divine Interception. Divine Interception. Today my plan is just to lay a foundation of the word. And by the grace of God, next week and, of course, the week after, we're going to go into some depth with regards to divine interception, and I believe God wants to do something in someone's life today.
Beautiful.
To someone's life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, sir.
Amen.
Oh, all right. I thought we were going to have a music music thing.
No, just flow. Take
right,
it
so
away.
We'll just continue. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you so much for everyone that has tuned in from wherever you may have tuned in from. I can see my wife giving me some love. Thank you very much.
Praise God.
Thank you very much, dear.
Love in the air.
Thank you for tuning in. I can see Naomi as well from Auckland here in New Zealand. Thank you very much. If you log in or you connect, let me know where you're watching from. I'll be more than happy to acknowledge you. Just leave me a comment. And if I can't do that while I'm on radio right now, by the grace of God, do that as soon as I am done.
Amen.
God bless you. So today we're talking about divine interception. Mm. But before I go into all the message, I'd like to thank my father in the Lord, Pastor David Adelowo of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Victory House, God. New Zealand, for this wonderful opportunity. Amen. That's why we are here.
Ooh,
the
yes.
church is sponsoring this part of the program, so it's a joy to be privileged to be here. Amen. And I really want to thank everyone that always tune in every time I'm here. Yeah. God bless you in Jesus' mighty name. From wherever you may have been, from wherever you may be tuning in all over the world, I'm very grateful. Amen. And I want to invite you, if you're in Auckland, New Zealand, or even anywhere in New Zealand, on the 28th of July, something awesome is happening in the city of Auckland.
Wow.
It's Power Seminar 4. Power Seminar 4. And we're going to be having the man of God, Pastor David Dada, all the way from New York, USA.
Beautiful.
Power Seminar is going to another level.
Wow.
It's going international.
Wow.
So please join us on the 28th of July at the Potter's Event Center, number 164 Balmoral Road.
Mm.
6:30 p.m. is the time. It's going to be phenomenal.
Mm.
And your life will not remain the same again.
Amen.
So join us. That man of God is coming powerfully. He's an apostle to nations, and I believe God will use him mightily to do great things in your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And on the 27th of May, I'm in Melbourne, by the grace of God. More details on that, by the grace of God, from next week.
Amen.
So if you're in Melbourne, Australia, you can catch me in Melbourne, Australia on 27th of May, by the grace of God. Amen. So let's go into today's message. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you. We bless you for what you are set to do. The Bible says the entrance of your word giveth light and understanding to the simple. That means every time we have the opportunity to hear your word, you are set to do something new. You are set to cause darkness to flee. You are set to bring your light into our lives. And so, Father, we pray that right now, every darkness in our lives, every dark time, every opposition in our lives, they will begin to give way for your light in the mighty name of Jesus. And as we're about to hear about divine interception, Father, we pray that we will begin to see this become a reality in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So today we're talking about divine interception. Divine interception. And let me start by the definition of interception. Today I just want to lay foundation on this series that I'll be preaching perhaps by the grace of God for the next 3 weeks. And I pray that God will open our eyes in Jesus' name. So interception means to stop or to seize an opportunity or to interrupt in progress or a course or before arrival of something. When you intercept, when you stop something before it arrives, when you stop something while it's in motion, when you stop something while it's in progress, that's what we call interception. And then another definition says to receive a signal, usually secretly. I love this one. Another one says to include in between two points. So in other words, there is a beginning, there is an end, and then something is included in between. Something is put in between. And number four is to gain possession of an opponent's pass. In this case, you know, we're in sports, when we say a pass is intercepted, is when you come in between, you know, the pass of an opponent, and you take control of the ball or you take control of the game. That's what we call an interception. And I would like to just pray a prayer for whoever is watching this right now or listening to this live on radio. I pray that God will intercept every of your plans today in the name of Jesus. You will experience divine interception in every area of your life today in the name of Jesus. What does it mean for God to intercept in your situation? What does it mean for God to stop and seize your situation and interrupt your situation? That's me going back into the definitions. And interrupt your case while even though it appears you are making progress, while even though it appears you have your own plans, while even though it appears you have a destination in mind, you know, I pray that God will intercept your case, your situation in the name of Jesus. It will intercept in your case and in your situation in the mighty name of Jesus. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21.
1, one of my favorite scriptures says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, or in the heart of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Many are the plans in the heart of man. Many are the things that man would like to do. Many are the desires in the heart of man. Maybe you're watching this, you have your own plans, you have your own desire. What we mean by divine interception is God hijacking your plan. God literally stopped your plan for is God taking charge, taking control, you know, of all that you thought you had in mind for yourself, and he decides to use all those things for his own plan, for his own purpose. Many are the plans in the life of a man, in the heart of a man, but the Lord's purpose only will stand. Permit me to say, but the Lord's interception only will stand. And there are many scriptures that I would like to show to you today, you know, that I believe that God will use to open our eyes. When God intercepts your everyday lives for his own purpose, that's what we mean by divine interception. When God decides to take charge of all that you are doing, of all the plans you have for yourself, of all the thoughts that you are thinking about yourself, and God says, park that by the side. Let me take charge. Let me show you what I have in plan for you. I believe very strongly that to cooperate with God is to allow him to hijack our plans. Let me say that again. To cooperate with God is to allow him to hijack your plans, to allow him to intercept your plans, to allow him to come in between all the things that you thought you had that was best for you, to come in between the rat race. I was saying to someone this week, I said, it is an insult to God when you carry grace and the only thing you ever think about is the rat race. You cannot afford to think only about the rat race when you carry the grace of God. You must be thinking about the purpose of God for your life. There is grace for every purpose that you have been assigned, that you have been, you know, that for the reason why you are created, God has given you grace. And therefore, you cannot afford to remain in the rat race. Divine interception means when God decides to intercept your own plan for his own plan. That is what we mean by divine interception. Look at several, you know, examples in the Bible. But let's look at one in particular. Maybe that's all we are going to be able to share today because of our time. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, and I'm just going to read from verses 19 by the grace of God. And if you have your Bible wherever you are, you can read it along with me as well. And I'll point out a few things from that scripture today, and we'll close. So he departed, 1 Kings chapter 19 from verse 19, talking about Elijah there. So he departed from there and found Elisha the son of Shaphath, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and bought their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. I want to point out a few things. Number one, Elisha was here on his own plan, living his own dreams, in the rat race, doing the normal. Elisha was like the ordinary guy, the ordinary man with the ordinary dream. Let me just finish my university and get a good job so I can marry and have 3 kids. Praise and God. Live in a moderate house, and glory to God. Amen. And go to church on a Sunday morning. That was kind of like the plan of Elisha. He was doing everything to remain ordinary. It was just, you know, living an ordinary life on the farm, like something you would call the ordinary guy. And maybe you are watching this as well. The only plan you have for yourself is all, you know, you have all this plans for yourself, you know, just to be yourself. You know, like I used to think about myself, you know, to become a professor, to teach information systems, you know, to travel around the world and research and all of those things. Those were the plans I had for myself. Oh, you know, the story that came to mind right now is the story of my dad. I remember my dad, Pastor John Ekuna, Pastor Dr. John Ekuna. He left Nigeria with his own plan. It was his own personal plan. And he had three things in mind. He was going to further his education. He was going to get a job, you know, so that, you know, he was moving from Nigeria overseas. And of course, he was going to bring his family. Those were his three plans. But when he got to Singapore, his third plan was to do missions, not to bring his family. His first plan was to further his education, get a job, and hopefully do ministry. So literally, he put God last.
Praise God.
You know, he was seeking greener pasture for himself and for his family, you know, and maybe you're watching this as well. Nothing is wrong with that, by the way. There's nothing wrong to have a good plan for yourself and your family and see greener pastures and have a good job and live a normal life like everybody else. But I believe very strongly, and I always say this anywhere you find me, God's purpose for your life is not for you to be ordinary. Hello? God's purpose, let me repeat that so that some people can catch it and write it down, is not for you to remain ordinary. If you, in case you have not yet caught God's purpose for your life, now is the time to begin to realize God did not create you to just live, make a living, go to work, come back from work and die. God did not create you so that you would just, you know, go to university, finish university, get a job, pay bills and die. No, God created you so you can make an impact in this generation. And if you want that plan, that purpose, that reason why he has created you to come to pass in your life, then you've got to allow him to intercept your plans. Let me say that again. If you want the purpose of God for your life to come to pass, you must allow God to intercept your plans. You must allow him to hijack your plans. You must allow him to take over that thing you went to study in school. You must allow him to take over your goals. You must allow him to take over your vision. You must allow God to take over everything that you have in plan for yourself.
Amen.
And begin to say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done.
Praise
God. I want to pray for somebody watching this or listening to this right now. I pray that God will begin to hijack your plans.
Amen.
Wherever you are right now, in the name of Jesus. I know it's a very difficult prayer to say amen to, because you may have pictured your future.
Jesus.
You know, like I used to picture myself as a professor.
Mm.
Picture myself, you know, traveling all over the world and delivering research. And doing research and all of that. But when God decides to hijack your plan,
Jesus.
It may not look like it at the beginning, but the end result is always greater and bigger and mightier than anything you've planned for yourself. Let me say that again so you can write it down. When God intercepts or hijacks your plan, the end result is always bigger and greater than whatever it is you can think for yourself or imagine or plan for yourself. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 that unto him, not unto you, hey, Akaraba, unto him, unto the one that gave birth to you, unto the one that molded you, unto the one that formed you, unto the one that knew you even before you were formed in the womb, like you told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, unto the one that molded, that crafted you, that custom made you, unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ever ask or think, according to the power deposited inside of you.
Jesus.
Permit me to say that you must allow God to intercept your plans.
Amen.
You must say, God, take over my plans. And wherever you are, please put one hand on your chest.
Mm.
Pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord,
Lord,
take over my plans.
Take over
my plans. Hijack my plans.
Hijack
my goals.
Hijack
my visions.
Hijack my visions.
Make them yours.
Make them
in
yours.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Elisha was living an ordinary life.
Jesus.
He was plowing with oxen. He was doing the ordinary thing. Mm-hmm. And if Elisha continued like this, he will be like the ordinary farmer that his parents ended up being.
Mm.
In fact, some biblical scholars told us that he was living the dream of his parents.
Mm.
Because, of course, the parents, you know, were farmers. Mm. And they wanted him to become a farmer. Mm. And become, you know, maybe the best. See, if you don't allow God to intercept your plan, the best you can be is a local champion.
Jesus.
Let me say that again. If you do not allow God to intercept your plans, mm. the best that can come out of you is a local champion.
Mm.
Maximum, your parents will be proud of you.
Jesus.
Maximum, your local community will be proud of you.
Jesus.
But when you allow God, Margaribosa, to intercept your plans, to hijack your plans, to allow a full expression of his purpose in your life. That's what we mean by divine interception, by the way. Then you begin to become not just a global champion. You begin to become a generational champion.
Jesus.
Global champion is too little in what God has in plan for you.
Mm.
We are talking about generational champion.
My goodness.
Age to age, from one generation to the other. People are talking about the things that God has done and will do and is doing through you.
Mm.
And even though you die, you are still alive because of the things that God has done through you, with Jesus. You and in you and for you. See, listen to me. Until you allow God to begin to unfold his plans for your life, you will continue to live like an ordinary person. Allow me to show you some things here. Elisha was living his own dreams, running the rat race, trying to become normal, trying to become like everybody else. By the way, please, God's plans for you is not for you to be normal. Let me say that again. The plan of God for your life does not subscribe to the normalcy of the world. The normalcy of the world is finish at your education. When you finish your education, get a job, a 9-to-5 jobs, perhaps, if you are lucky, be the, you know, head of a company and all of that. That is the normalcy of the world. That's what people will applaud and say, oh, successful, great, you know, you have done well. But in God's plan and purpose,
Jesus.
You are for world domination. In God's plan and purpose, you are for generational impact.
Amen.
Let me say that again. In the purpose of God for your life, things that you are meant to do, you must transcend generations.
Amen.
People must begin to ask about the God in you even way after you are gone.
Amen.
And so shall it be for anybody listening to this and watching this right now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. See, the best thing you can have for yourself is only of this world. Is only of your generation. That's the best dream you can have for yourself. But when you allow God to take over your dream, when you allow, let me finish my dad's story. And then he got to Singapore. He got to Singapore and he looked for a job and he could not find a job.
Jesus.
Remember, he was trying to get a job. He was trying to further his studies. He applied for education, for some admission. He didn't get any. God decided to hijack his plan. And guess what happened? The very thing he put last, God rearranged the order.
Jesus.
And put it first. God now connected him to a ministry where he was asked to serve. Listen to me. Your greatness is in your service.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Your greatness is in your service.
Amen.
The purpose of God for your life can only be fulfilled in your service. You must serve. If you cannot serve, you can never be great. Elisha was serving here. And I wrote down here, God does not call lazy people. I have read the scripture back to back. I am yet to see where God called a lazy person. Every single person, even though they are not qualified, they were not lazy.
Amen.
They were people with commitment. People that were committed. The Bible spoke about Paul. Paul was going up and down the place persecuting the church. He was committed to a purpose that was not his own anyway. But God saw that heart and said, wow. I need this guy. And the Bible says by the time God converted, Jesus converted Paul, and he was converted. Jesus. It got to a particular point in time in the books of Acts that Paul went somewhere. And they had to say that this person that is a world changer has come here again. Paul became converted and was still wrecking the kingdom of the devil. And he was expanding the kingdom of God. I am yet to see a place in the scripture that God called a lazy person. Go and read all part of it. People who are, look at David. My goodness, he was already tearing the mouth of the lion and the bear. Even way before God called him. Even though he was not qualified. He didn't have the stature of Saul. He didn't have all the CV and all the particulars of Saul. But he was committed.
Jesus.
Go and look at Gideon. Go and look at even Jonah. The same Jonah we always talk about. He was not a lazy man. He was an evangelist. And God called him. Many people that God has called are people who are committed.
Amen.
So that's why I said earlier on that the fact that you have a plan for yourself, there's nothing wrong in it.
Amen.
God is always looking for people who are committed.
Amen.
And when you are committed, God would love to use you.
Amen.
And listen to me. Do you know, I'll stop here and I'll continue next week. Do you know Elisha recorded the second highest miracle in the entire Bible? The second highest number of miracles in the entire Bible. Even way better than that of Elijah is master. Because what? God hijacked his plans. And I want to pray for someone right now. Hey, Karibash, I don't care what location of the world you're in. Even if you are in a persecuted nation and you are in a war zone, I want to pray for you. God will hijack your plans and turn you into into that thing that you've never imagined and thought possible in your life in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
If you have been planning this for yourself, as God begins to hijack your plans and your vision, you begin to get this. The results you begin to see from your life, from your ministry, you will never be able to imagine in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so shall it be in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We'll stop there today because our time is up. But by the grace of God, we'll continue on the story of Elisha. And then I want to take you to the story of Peter. How God intercepted the plans of these highly committed, hardworking people who thought they were doing something for themselves. But God hijacked their plans and then turned them to a phenomenon. Something that their minds and heart could never fathom. And I believe God is going to do the same through you in the mighty name of Jesus. He's doing it through me. And I believe he will do it through you.
Amen.
And your life will not remain the same again. In the mighty name of Jesus. God will hijack your plans.
Amen.
He will intercept your plans. And you will be grateful for it at the end of your life.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Let us pray. And I want to pray, first of all, I want to pray for anyone that you're watching this right now. And you're saying, Samuel, I want God to intercept my plans. I've had all these plans for myself. But just as you have said to me, no matter the amount of plans I have for myself, I can only, the best I can become is a local champion. The best I can become is to run the rat race. Listen to me. If you're saying that and you want God to, and you want me to pray for you right now, you want God to change your story. Wherever you are, put one hand in your chest and I'll pray for you. Father Lord, I pray for this person, this honest person right now, that wants you, Lord, to hijack their plans, to take over their life and turn them into who you have proposed and created them to be. Father Lord, I pray that you will begin to do that work in their lives right now. In the mighty name of Jesus,
Amen.
You will begin to change their story.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, you begin to unfold your plans in their lives and their lives will not remain the same again. In the mighty name of Jesus. Second category of people I want to pray for because of time is someone who is saying, I want to give my life to Christ. I want him to completely take over my life. I want him to be my Lord and Savior. You are that honest person. You are saying, my relationship with God is not right. I want my relationship to be back and sound with God. If you're there, put one hand on your chest as well. Say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I thank you for your word. I accept you into my life as my Lord and Savior. Forgive my sins. Help me to live your purpose for my life, that I will not live an ordinary life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. If you have prayed that prayer, listen to me. You've just gotten born again. Make sure wherever you are, anywhere you are, find a Bible-believing church and make sure that you join a church and you're growing and you're serving. Remember, God will only hijack your plans when you're committed and you're serving. I look forward to seeing you again next week on another series, on another part of this series divine interception. God bless you, and bye for now. Amen.
Amen. All right, thank you very much, the purpose preacher. So that was the gospel time on Radio Akwaaba. Thank you, and we'll see you next week on this first part of our program. And into the Yamini Adolphonum, where you ready a quaba. And into no, you are twelve medianus, Sambria, Edue, your interview, Ayabema, your befriend, Mr. Tui. Now, watch it, and you may be more actually, and we say on our page, you know, and you were talking about many Africans that come into New Zealand and with qualified professionals, but they end up with an unskilled job. Yeah, Dr. Tui is a specialist in that area. And you know, your befriend now, what church and you may be any show. So we've got Mr. Tui on the line, who is the manager at Statistics New Zealand. So Tui is going to talk to us about the issues that many of us are skilled, you know, African migrant face when we come to New Zealand. Mr. Tui, are you there?
Yes, please, I am. Thank you very much, Kizito.
Yeah.
Just one clarification.
Yeah.
I'm not speaking on behalf of my government department at the moment.
Okay.
In any case, I've just left that department, but I'm speaking in my own capacity as an academia and also as a member of the African community.
Okay.
So I want to make it very clear. I'm not speaking about on behalf of AUT, my university, or my employer. I'm just speaking from my own individual capacity.
Sure.
And also, hearing the concerns of the number of African community members.
Yeah. Okay, so Mr. Tui, just a quick one. As we read in the storyline that was over the weekend, that and which is not something new, many Africans, you know, who come to New Zealand as qualified professionals, you know, end up in unskilled jobs. You know, what is your take on the African ethnic inequalities in New Zealand?
First and foremost, New Zealand, it's a very good country to bring up a family in terms of institutionalized racism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about being in a society.
Yeah.
I've heard terrible stories from other countries like, you know, in Europe.
Mm.
But on a comparative basis, New Zealand is a good country.
Yeah.
But when it comes to issues of employment, we've got heaps of challenges in New Zealand. We do have employers who are good, but some of them, they are not so good.
Mm.
Some of them, they believe that if you are from Africa, if you are a man of color, if you're a black African in particular, your suitability for being employed, it raises a lot of questions.
Mm.
In other words, in a nutshell, there is an element of racism when it comes to issues of employment in New Zealand.
Mm.
But having said that, I have also worked for the government and also private sector. There are some employers who are quite good, but there are some who are also racist, even in government quarters and also in the private sector. Mm. There are such guys. They need to see the light.
Yeah. So, and the other thing is, I mean, sometimes people will say, well, this happens to a lot of migrants, so it's not just Africans. You know, sometimes it's just that, you know, you have to go through certain stages before, you know, you get something that is befitting according to your qualification. What do you think?
To some extent, it is very true. What I have discovered, I've been here for 16 years in New Zealand, and also I've undertaken a number of studies in terms of employment issues from a social science perspective. Mm-hmm. New Zealand has this thing of the so-called Kiwi experience. Mm. To me, they overemphasize it. They really, at times, one does not require the so-called QA experience to be able to deliver in a particular job. Mm. For example, a motor mech who's trained in Zimbabwe or in Nigeria or in Ghana, you don't have to have a QA experience to fix a Toyota or a Suzuki. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These cars are made in Japan. They're not even manufactured in New Zealand.
Mm.
So in any case, what I have actually said in terms of giving an example for motor mechanics and diesel fitters, guys from Africa are actually much, much better compared to guys who are trained in New Zealand. Why? Because in Africa, you have to fix, you know, broken parts of the cars. In New Zealand, you take a whole part, throw it in the dustbin, and just fit a new part.
Mm.
So I'm just basically saying there are some professions that don't require the so-called QA experience.
Mm.
Then there are some, which in my view are quite few, which require a bit of enlightenment and whatever. So, in other words, they overemphasize such issues. According to my research, just in a nutshell, I came up with 10 themes, but then I consolidated them into 5 themes.
Yeah.
The challenges that Africans do face in New Zealand.
Okay.
The first one is basically, theme one is basically to do with racism and discrimination associated with the accent issues.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then that one, it's a broad one. Mm. We are talking about discrimination based on the color of one's skin, which is different from race. Those two are different.
Yeah.
Then the other one is also discrimination based on the name.
Mm.
Kizito. Tukudakosa Tuwe. It's not a Kiwi name. I can actually lose the whole plot. I cannot even be called for interviews by some certain, you know, employers. And then, of course, the issue of accent.
Mm.
Theme number two is to do with English language proficiency as a barrier to communication.
Mm.
This affects a lot of our brothers and sisters, mostly from refugee background, and also those migrants who came from non-speaking English countries.
Mm.
Then the third theme is basically, I've already mentioned about the non-recognition of qualifications that are acquired in Africa, and also demands from local experience.
Yeah.
The fourth theme that I identified was basically to do with employment challenges, to do with people being unemployed. Those who are a bit lucky, they are underemployed, highly qualified, and they're underemployed.
Yeah.
And lastly on that one, to do with promotions. You may get a job, but to climb the ladders of promotion, it's a daunting task.
Okay.
Then the last fifth theme is to do with the cultural issues and the religion.
Yeah.
So in a summary, these are the five things that the members of the African community spoke passionately about.
Yeah. Awesome. So, and lastly, Mr. Tuwe, so do you think that we are making significant signs of changes, you know, when it comes to some of these areas that we've mentioned?
Yes, I think in my own view, there has been a paradigm shift, a bit of a change for the better.
Mm.
If I look 16 years ago, because I was an executive back home, when I came here, my first job, I was a toilet cleaner.
Mm.
But now I'm one of the national managers, two different organizations, government organization, also a private sector.
Yeah.
So I've seen Africans really climbing up the ladder slowly.
Mm. Yeah.
Why? Because I believe a lot of Kiwis, some Kiwi employers, they've realized that performance, work-related performance, is not related or linked to the color of one's skin. Yeah. For example, nurses from Zimbabwe, as an example, they've done quite well. They used to have examinations before they got accepted. But at the moment, I understand if you just say I'm a Zimbabwe-trained nurse, you easily get a job. There is a good reputation.
Yeah. Mr. Tui, thank you for your time this evening.
Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. God bless.
Okay, man. All right.
Bye. So that was Mr. Kudawashi Tue, who is the manager for Statistics New Zealand, and he has actually done a PhD on the ethnic inequality. So it was good for us to have his take on some of these areas. And into the so team, your radio Aquaba Nauti, and there you see your betrichin common, and common, I have a betrichin. It's about, was it the inequalities in our system? You know, ethnic people like Africans, and Yama, ACC, Aquaya, Emma, Intimin, Koyanim, a certain pace, you know, all because Tabu Kafracha, Yanya Brofo, nah, Emma, just a yeah, sometimes, you know, Yama, Yahunchi and Kakra, and only a betrichin Hong Kong, and there. And you know, Radio Akwaba Nauti, Ghana Sessions of New Zealand, or Madame Roma, and you decide you may be a bro, and to know, Genaso, Yonko Babia, the Ebbessia. And into this OTA, Radio Akwaba Nauti, 104.6 Planet FM, coming to you live from the studios. And Ngomaya Betuchano, you see ethnic inequalities in our education system, race, come to income, and then coming down to occupation, just a Jumaya, and then even upon within health. And then in the justice system, say ena minority communities, say Africa for system treaty ewo New Zealand ha, and no enkomo ena ye betwetwe ena anadwefe, and it no me panelists at nase yima ewa ha kwajo ofori nso aba ena ya ewofa Kwesi Freddy and so well, and you know, and penny for Mamunda Akwaba.
Yeah,
and penny for Mamakwaba.
Yeah, yeah,
and you know, you mum to say,
oh, yeah, I don't be able to.
Okay, yeah, Kwasi, let me say, and what topic back open here, and I think that you'll be now for the next half an hour, you know, and I by 7 BBA lines, you know, now it's you for also actually my dream about some of this stuff because be our experiences and I said the knowledge to share. And I think say, it would be worth opening up the lines for, you know, the experienced people to also almost on bachelor my dream. I was a dream. Say, many 2 weeks I on why PhD. Mm. I bought PhD pie in the area. abo PhD in this area. And you know, Emmy say what we can do is yebeko a first round. Oh, na obi a chere na adwen. Na afi ya hwe. Ya edi na bobo. Na ya hwe na obi a adwen chere no about this particular topic. Na mami fine I just in feel kwesi. So what do you think? Oh, now what in half for so many years? I'm saying, yeah, why now? No, oh, now what you have? Hey, New Zealand, you grow on my emo. And you know, who is saying? Say, have we come a long way, or we still have a long way to go in terms of, you know, the inequalities in the system when it comes to especially ethnic people, and then ethnic people who breaking it down? Africa for yeah, we best say to dumfwe. How does the system, you know, go against us?
Chief, we didn't mean na jo. Na jamin so mi kakra mi mi ni beru beka. Na fanse kakra mat nemu ahan diye. Yesi ano mi beru be. Ensi ebedu akra na ye kas ye kana puto kaza bise. Racist kra na namkra menti asi. But na menti word bise friends say tribalistic. So. Na we do an old piece of yes, should be a Ghana beer within 2-3 years. In the old one is a old pegma. But I came here said, I'm a car mechanic.
Yeah.
Me, you know, Ghana and Ben or South Africa. To be the same mechanic.
Yeah.
Because so many interviews. Now, that could run brother, a friend Texan or Australia. And Peter Obi also Australia this time.
Mm.
Me because you we will give you a call. Me for the whole day. Send me a train call no.
Emma.
Call behind Emma. Did that grow Uncle Jackson for a human by him say, Uncle, see the Maswan is your power. I know what you're saying. Uncle Pibiana in the chair, swim away the whole hammer. Maybe try me, shave Conaca Grams in. I have any texting me. Me can meet you more. But me tears my head or kind. Your person is a Bibia in your piano. Fascist,
yeah.
I'm coming next interview. I didn't you will be a I remember the Kenya Rosebank Road. Na ye packet keys. It required one of the best most about the mountain. After all the interviews on Macquarie's car mechanic, no.
Yeah.
I feel no more. I said the FM. Because all coin interview crowds, that's some funny questions. But me, I'm about 3 years. No, so can I be a barber? Say, be a 50 years ago, near. And come back on to qua. And at this time, we answer that question now. You are no. And at that time, we answer that question. So now, you are no. Because now, meaning, make fun say a bit naive. But so, we go interview. No business say, "Namu kramu or cars or Africa." So no.
Yeah.
Uwe fu. Oh, your cars or Africa. I remember say interview no yeme. It was in a cars in Bebu Bodini. So no.
Yeah.
I and so could be said na kodabi onu nyanti asem bia sia. Nwefu.
Yeah.
I na mini cars of Africa. Bobudini. When the first person really guy there from Frank Mbaye na bare 5 o'clock no. Yeah. Now the message just say memra interview. The one am dear there. Midi nya adwuma. Na minim adwuma amfo bebe hwehwe. Obi a na dear. Na since then Uncle Texan as we catch him no. I come to my people and they say anything goes. I did bit my mom is gonna be and for time being, I was there.
Yeah.
Regardless. And especially sign very good ma especially nipa no my then umako square kusuya de no. Unya suya dia be at be sky de mount. So no.
Okay.
My bitch nipa ukrum hanuma were a lawyer.
Yeah.
Down were cleaner. My she will be a chemical engineer. Oye cleaner. But question of people be a oye no more because I could be argued every that doesn't necessarily mean say, Oko school oye law and a BT Africa for a fear. No,
yeah,
say, Kenya lawyers are Oko's a question law, but real law and a freedom to Kotoban chair. We will know how to manage cassava way better. So I say, Makoya accounting, we don't have Kotombo, dear. Now we know how to manage way better. So no, it's here. Produce Africa for the case be a. You can't put together education. No, what the back to case man? A nimdiye. If you ask me, be honest. So we're talking about nimdiye. ewo hun. But yeah, let me say I fall into two Western. But then Western for which reason? Onye no mo yo. So koche min mobi ano wey accountant. And oye umu ye chute nuyana yashredano. Was that we only because you share? Martin office are computers are same as na meye de. Ena meye. Onya just holidays keke. Eno best spending time with his brother. Say so, oye. She was no full interest. And what talk cars are ubu chute nuya. Aye on scale making a day no. More than the on making this a week or accounting officer. Meaning say. What about dreams? Say, open so you see. Sometimes, no, it's not all the time to meet my code the way you want.
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah, cause be I say racism get the anima. It's a lie.
Yeah.
But don't take it personal. Then you want to my best year will home for you can buy no aircraft engineer. Why you give my annual hat? Obey a welder. Even keep it fun because of themselves. Made my children, my papa is a 5, you're close to me. Yes, why you overqualified? Why you university with the degrees? Or compared to myself, you're overqualified. Or you're brony. I don't know, Kromiano. So I say, but people are quite busy. I say, within the cell born in history name, sir, we'll be a creation by a big crown. Yes, why you overqualified? My share was sure in New Zealand near a warning, huh? Well, you were really university with her, where you're more her best 5 years, no call back to or call Australia. About 20 years to come, no, late time, no. Or by her, where say, or better in the room, or by page my, or by almost 2 years, won't meet Michelle on your money. So, and you sign a money the other, or but yeah, you ain't me, I have job name, maybe, because you have no mammy background. So, my ever say me, and so on your donor. So, no, and if you have been making first choice, or maybe from a busium to Krum, young fans say, a month for pay policy, another way, what say I come for. So, no, or try draw can for United Abano. John Mazes, yes, for so no. No, so you're too many. You're here, that's your creation for. I've got a crocus, a crassia, keep you for. I've got you to keep a crocus, a crassia, brown wizards, any free. Or say you're a crab by a bush on the head any free. Charles, a world as I'm a yasnade, a teen yamia body, a messenger. There's nothing you can do about it.
Okay.
It therefore, no, a banisana was a munya botre, a munchin kumumu. Say, well, near you, man, I had a walk, what you may be. Be a bit, my dear, a great opportunity about it.
Okay,
any idea was yet to be a day, you realize
it.
Yeah, so your first amount for yourself, you can't. Umu two candidate a day. Fellow band of fellow, machine electric toilet. About but you toilet.
Okay.
All
right, you're okay, and I say, okay. What's your take? I mean, on this issue.
I think for me, it looks like for me. I think that if you say institutional racism, you know, and I say inequality, it's not there now. I think so. It would be very unfair.
To we're deceiving ourselves.
You can feel it. You can whether it's a perception. Or it's a real, depends on who is facing it at that time. And I think for me, we need to look at whether is it peculiar to whether New Zealand Fong Kwan Eko through New Zealand Fong Kwan Eko to the problem, Africans in New Zealand, or is it a general problem?
General.
Yeah, because okay. Okay, so events, for me, I think I believe that it's not only about news, it's about something which happened around the world. Because there was one day I was listening to Dr. Okoboy, who is one of the MPs in Ghana. He said, Oko, New York, no? The number of Ghana doctors in New York, no? They are not even working here, touching me, man. There are more than the number of doctors in Accra alone. Alone.
Yeah, what's say?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yeah.
And, you know, MSA, online, you know, what do you think about the issue that we are discussing, the ethnic inequality in New Zealand?
Am I online right now?
Yeah, you are online.
Oh, am I live?
Yeah, you are live. And, you know, you have to see actually what, you're more quiet here now. Wait till me actually watching, then we'll go back to the discussion.
Okay. So, can I just go now?
Yeah.
Okay, so I heard Ofa, Our own you know what? You know what? Today, and then make call Wellington for interview. No, and I'm share that with my taxi drivers. No, and I'm say, oh, now Mokra, what has been your immigrant experience in New Zealand? Bakuye, Indian, oh, now Indian, no, Baha, when he was 18, no international student. When you have degrees in your New Zealand, or age one New Zealand. And fair enough. Croatia in is about 2000s. Oh, yeah. Jimmy? Hello?
Yeah, just keep on. Yeah, keep talking.
So, me, Bussa, no. Hello, Omunya, mommy, or my experience. You know, the main person, the Kashani Passe. Experience we have in New Zealand is not unique to Africans. First of all, that's the first thing we need to be aware of. So, I'm a journal. Now, for Ekasanazono, or Kasebipa, my manager, because I think, say, the longer you stay in New Zealand, your perspective about this changes. So, because also, what's our experience? Say, open New Zealand now. Now, why your degree in your baby? You know, that's your plan.
Yeah.
That's your plan. Part of immigration is a Ufu Kuma Kuma. Send you winter, you have no choice. No. Ah, winter, ba, what's your jacket? I can say, ah, what adapt, you know. So, as I was having the same mindset, say, discrimination and racism is part of the package. I'm not saying that we should accept it all.
Yeah. Okay.
But we should come with a certain mindset.
Yeah.
I cannot negotiate winter. I cannot negotiate certain things about New Zealand. I have to adapt. So that's why I mean, I know an engineer in Australia. They say, we're reading a nursing degree. But sometimes, oh, me say, barrister. Me certificate what was it? Me New Zealand trained barrister. More premier. That's not how it works. I know, sir. There's a systematic, institutionalized discrimination. I play the system. The thing is, we can't win the system because labor me national whereby it's not going to come up. And then your China say or the policy dia but China any say na it's weaker. It will never happen. And, what we have to educate ourselves and our children is say, this is a system. To tell them, unfortunately, this is a system. But you have to find on the upper kind. I'll say, because, oh, but now, with degree in us, we see, reference in Africa. What would that PhD going for you? So, but wait, stay here for 5 years. Now, see, we didn't change you. And then people start calling you. So, let me say, I think, say, if we fear, we are coming into some utopia. Because Ghana, what you want? We'll be applied to my. Sabi, we'll be first engineers offer a northern Nipa. Because that's how human nature is.
Yeah.
So, you know, we shouldn't be so, we have to separate real problems from problems that is just there. You just can't change. Sometimes you just can't change. So the idea, every winter, we have a flu. And we have a flu. Certain things, you just manage. So on a mission. Even because if you spend too much of your time fighting for things you can't change whole year. Now, the man what's now, once off work, I said, me bomb thing goes out. Because often, me look back in the 90s, in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Only will be out there, I'd say, Ekasa. You realize, there's a system here, a court here, but then there are different ways to manage. You have to know, there's a as a first generation, you are making a sacrifice for your children.
Yeah.
You are doing it for your children because we are a first generational migrant.
Yeah.
And even in America, Irish people are going to America first. Italians from America first. They experience the same thing. But right now, Italian Americans and Irish Americans, their kids are benefiting. And, you know, part of immigration, you know, is that you are going there to sacrifice yourself for the people after you. And, you know, man, I'm not condoning any racism or anything. Yeah. I've been in Islam citizen for more than 15 years. I'm a barrister.
Mm.
But I also know, sir, meeting from the CV, of course, every law firm buying one family. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that we have to be... Let's complain. But after we complain, how do we support each other and support each other? We share our experience. I'm just sharing the experience. This is how we move forward. Because yet something that be a kind of a bad story. Me today my bar is having the clean toilet. My ADD the other.
Yeah.
You know, send me meet someone and watch their story. But they never brown say what I've done. And then I'll interview. I'll be very honest with you. It was one of those interviews. Now, I wasn't feeling it. It was an interview. We all flip past it. Why are they far? But I also felt that to be almost a pound. They like.
Yeah.
I knew. Maybe next week. I mean, I'll call you back. And I will know, sir, it wasn't said, some serious interview. Human nature, what was in the I could tell, sir, it's a lady now, you know. He said, look at Othro Bones, I'm not going to really be going to catch him. I'm like, my house, look at my head. So, if you have that mindset, you start enjoying New Zealand. Because, hey, you're not complaining, sir, so I good, sir. So, they did by the West in terms of. Yeah. Discrimination. Yeah, let's be honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's have that kind of mindset. Prepare our kids for that kind of mindset. Well, if you prepare them with that victim mindset now, and then he will blame the system. That's my 2 cents. And I don't want people to be offended and say, for a while. And our system, I've lived in Australia too. It's the same. So, it's about coming together and of our summer, no, come in Japan. Do a car seminar. I don't think I could have said it any better. You know, I'm just encouraging everyone. Say, we might rather we can come together and share ideas and move forward.
Yeah.
To me, I don't know.
All right. Okay, beautiful. So that was Barrister Osei. I think he made very interesting points. And say, there's something that we are missing. Say, yeah, but we want the honey to flow at once. you know. Yeah.
Before I gonna be say, so corner so cool quick interview business in the man kuyamawa. Funny say you have been in a place, a wrong place at a wrong time.
Yeah.
Don't take it personal. Because you won't want a tool. Because you catch abroad from the mukuma, not even a juma me, you know. Me can't any part just 1 year you may dino.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised. But in Jumba Kukranka. I am roughly you, Madi. Obaka so racist, Anna. The panel dance will be brunny.
Yeah. Okay. Mean to you, have him say, Kojuna. Yeah.
Just coming to what Kokosi said.
Yeah.
I'm Uyo Madi said, it's not issue in your young Kuan. Because I'm an American doctor, Okuboy Kayan. I'll see you if you go to America. I'm a Ghana doctor, so I'm a Fiakra Ghana co. You're come some people, you might, There's more than a number of doctors or what Accra.
Yeah.
Because but they can't go back because Omakoka. But which is the problem is not only say New Zealand the problem is everywhere. But
yeah, it's global.
Need to understand, sir.
Yeah.
The New Zealand have got a responsibility to protect its own people.
Mm.
And yeah, every country have got Ghana have got the same. And then almost say across so China for bomb my toy in SARS because the responsibility of the government to ensure that the people, not mere locals, are first got a fair share.
Mm.
And there's every system is discrimination. I'm not sure whether you can call it racism or discrimination because immigration, if you go to the first question the immigration is going to ask the company, if you are going to apply, why did you not give the job to the local person and you are giving it to somebody coming from somewhere else? Because the mindset of the government is that the local person need to have the fair share. It's discriminatory.
Yeah.
Who call immigration?
Legitimate discrimination.
Because who call immigration system here? Point.
Yeah.
They say IELTS. Who are your IELTS? They're making sure I say one. So on camera for you are going to get a lower, the less chance of getting to the system. Let them only IELTS by.
Yeah.
Because even yes, even nursing or medical physician, some of the doctors were complaining because the role of the nursing council or the medical council is first to protect the the safety of the citizen. And it's often outside, but they need to make sure, say, your politicians, that's right, missed their standard. You have some process that you go through.
Yeah.
And some of the doctors, one of my doctor friends was even complaining, said it took about 2-3 years to be able to become a doctor, even though a doctor in the criminal bar, you know, because one, you have to go and write 2 exams. One of the exams now you have to write, you know, it goes through, after that, 1 year, you have to write another exam. The men's mindset, they need to make sure the local people are being protected. And whatever they do, even though to us, it may seem like an unfair system.
Yeah.
But that's their responsibility to protect that people. And for us, if you have Kogan and Noka, so health screen or a nurse, we don't ask anything. Health screening, whether they are qualified or not, we don't know. But here, you can't do that here.
Yeah.
Because their responsibility is to protect the people. And sometimes you need to be able to find there's a fine line between legitimate discrimination and racism. People are not, it could be a perception.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, make kind of article. There's one thing I wasn't very sure. Say, what was the background?
Yeah.
The experience.
That's true.
Wanna, if you are coming here, applied more in a Okla University as a lecturer. Okay, they paid you from Ghana. Now you have worked for a company which is not recognized. That. Don't bother you.
Yeah.
And where they no more interview them. What was their background? What was their qualification? Because the university also have got a standard to protect.
That's right.
And it's all your qualification from Legon and that's baby, but now they cannot certify your qualification now. You're going to have a problem.
Yeah. I think Osei was also making a point of integration. You see, we don't integrate into the system.
Absolutely, yeah.
And also,
you don't even do the research. You have sold everything you got, hoping say you are coming to New Zealand, I got a PhD, I'm a doctor, I'm a this. But you need to do your research to know that how long does it take to be able to get what I need? Because there's some people who are in Ghana, they've been contacting me, so I want to come to New Zealand. Sometimes I have to call them and say, Master Uba, make sure so you have enough money to last you for 1 year. Because it's not just a bum, I'll pay you my Uber. It's a pro called Uber crowd or the visitors in album. Now I'll pay whatever pay a Jumai. Sometimes, you know, what about when you're so made to tune in
tea? Yeah.
But I know for me, I've been here for almost 14 years. But to be honest, maybe I went through a lot of up and down.
You've been through, that's right.
I didn't see it as a, because I know I saw it as, yes, because
it's a face.
If they don't acknowledge it.
And even them just coming here. Even calling a person is an experience.
Me pa ha first as occupy you in this experience no. Me friends na grofo mo ma dwene adwuma de. Obi am ma dwuma nyeda na azme nya experience de. Kopi me say me am experience bi. Me be a clinic company wa.
Yeah.
Na me din ka to adwuma no me so no. Na me nyeda nya me nim clinic papa bi a. But before say na I was able to become perfect in the clinic no. Me lose about say $2,000-$3,000 worth of cash. Me lose contract baby.
Yeah.
Very perfect, Miss Again is how contesting now back now more. But sometimes woman will be a man for no bomb age, man. Will be free, mamma, and be an only experience.
Yeah.
Before some experience, no, I lose $4,000 easily.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to be because experience like I can't want seminar. This works.
It's very necessary. My main fault, Prof. Now, Prof, what's your take on some of these issues that we've been discussing?
Me take a very, very different. I'm saying, I shall self in seminar, I can't be.
Yeah.
I'm saying, Nimre. Maybe next week, every time I trust.
Okay.
Now, me shall self in the bureaucracy for the kind. No, can't say before, say, Chrome have four, Emro four, will be able to quire Kobe, be our banner chief 5 years.
Yeah.
Our bow paper, Mukanya Binia, and also another kind of racism, and us any racism. I'm saying, there, a bit of background. There are 2 way, you know. 2 way, A will be our town Chrome out.
Yeah.
Two are here, Marcus.
That's right.
Yeah, Mama, New Zealand Ace Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
It's only I'm saying, better not care about
statistics.
Census.
Yeah.
On a manager, only here, man. The manager because you're a very experienced guy.
Yeah.
Until they make a question, I say, 2 way, you'll be a fee no page, man.
Yeah.
But the way you know, or then same air barb on any home come. On can't say be a footy preoccupied, or say no, ye executive on the comb. Or clean toilet or yana so any
oh yeah.
And on chess or banana we ya and yejuma, yejuma. Nemum ye quye nimuno. And some bens and a ha in the pana or to come a Africa form, them ben hain. I said the bejasu. I a bomuja. Nani pana crony and the diano, but he and so ye near who says any problem so kumha. Nanya must send
a house. These are our issues.
Yeah, from any one touching the new comma. That's why he's trying to push.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks. I think say, for the in the first instance is commendable, and I highly commend him. They are not too in China. I don't know if you can say keep European. They can't even come crown crew. They can't come out come out. They can't do a cabia.
That's right.
They can't. Oh, can't do do more. I'm afraid to come with man on money edge. I'm afraid to come with money edge man on money edge. You can't do more. You can't the averages, not just the individuals and individual stories.
Yeah.
They are not too in China. I'm saying not a. We can say, or say, can say, we see discrimination as part of the package. It's okay. You bet me, I can say. Now, you can't we are. On say, come here, quite say, you bet you're Johnny Free Assembly. Assembly. On my net team, there are values the New Zealand country opposed to.
That's right.
Ebin equality. You see, a fairness. You see, if UK neighbor, if UK, by 90 chem, we may be doing better, but you chem, dear neighbor, you need to me, you pay.
Yeah.
Indeed, you can't, if that's what we are saying. Okay, if we agree that there's a new value we uphold to, equality, the society must be fair.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say discrimination is part of the package? It's not. So should we challenge it or otherwise?
Yeah.
I have a colleague who is in Australia now. He's teaching, he's a lecturer, he's a lawyer. He goes to apply for his PR and they're telling him he needs to show he can speak English. You know what he did? He could have just cowed down and said, okay, tell me what should I do? He wrote a strong letter. And now the letter is in front of the minister. They are reviewing it. That's what we need to do. We need to speak up. And see, I get passionate about these things, and sometimes it hurts when you get, because you expect people to, let's face it, and that's what Martin Luther King said.
Yeah.
Our lives begin to end the day we stop talking about things that matter.
That matter,
that's what we are trying to do here. Let's not downplay it. Let's not try to make it individuals.
Yeah.
When you go down there, some of us, anyway, for me, I've not been here for that long, but I'm working. And I'm doing something that, if in my small way, I may think that I'm doing well.
Yeah.
But if I compare myself to the other people, can I do more? Can I do better? What about the young ones?
Yeah.
Like, if you look at the census we did 2013, I'm waiting for the 2018 one. How many were we? The Africans are about the most qualified people in this country, educated people in this country.
Yeah.
Check around the world. The in the United States, they were the same thing.
Yeah.
In the UK, it's the same thing.
That's true.
Now, if you look at that, and look at our income, look at the income, personal income, how much are we earning? And it would be strange for you to find that income support, we are about the highest. We receive income support in this country, 30.4%. Why? Because about 15% of us are unemployed. And this has increased from 12 in 2013, in 2006 to 2013. There are issues. Let's talk about them. Let's not try to make it look as if a few of us. And you see, sometimes it's also funny when you look at it from our perspective. We think that, for me, I'm doing well.
Yeah.
And so the others, they can burn.
They don't.
They can drive. I don't care about them. And that's a wrong perception.
Perception.
So let's face it. You see, we've been here. We've not been here for that long. If you look at the history of the African community, just in the 1990s.
Yeah.
We have not been here that long. But if you look at our population, 25% of our people are born in New Zealand. What does the future hold for them?
Yeah.
Are there scholarship opportunities for them? They say we are not many. But the people said the African ethnicity, people said I'm an African. Over 13,000 of us say we are Africans.
Yeah.
Those are the things you're talking about. It's not about say, and unfortunately, say, do baby any more. Now we are saying the man you're talking about, PhD, they can ask him now.
Yeah,
yes, so PhD man in the background. He's been teaching for 25 years on the crew. Yeah. He's been teaching on the crew. He's been teaching on the crew on the other crew. Of course, yes, he's an experience. I'm a health promoter. I'm not going to be a health promoter. I rose to become a public relations officer for my region. That's what I do. I work for Auckland Regional Public Health Service. How different is that from what I did in my country? The same principles. The same things. It's just say, or be say, wouldn't you experience? I agree. So I'm a buyer and I was teaching. I got the experience and finally got myself into the place I wanted to be.
Yeah.
But is that... and better be
have
to. Those are the three things I'm proposing. One, you have food, so sometimes we are doing a lot of things for ourselves. Is it time for the government to hear us? Maybe I'm interviewing Okroma Zimbabwe. No, I'm say, so if you're Okromuha, what Helen Clark did was just to go and bring people and dump them here. How are we integrating them? And the word you used about integration is not integration, we're asking for acculturation, which is wrong. We have to keep our culture but learn to accept and live in a new country. That's integration, not acculturation. And my problem, say, but now my more friend be bent here, see, now, you see, to a
yeah.
You want to say, I can't wash him. And we need to front it and let people know we are here. We deserve to be recognized. And not just sweep it on the carpet and think, say, because, say, me, my name, I'm crying, you know, or by two, we're on trace CV, or go interview, on can say, hey, did you know him? Me need to probably apply or do over 500 lawyer friend for interview, crumple down. Oh, grandpa, now become white, I'm so in the answer. Then I back and I'm just saying,
yeah.
Anyway,
okay. I think next week you bet to us with the emirate yeah, you know. Yeah, that would ask it. Thank you all for joining us on the Radio Akwaba. So those of you who are listening to us on the show live online, it's gonna cut in about 15 seconds, but we will still continue the discussion for the next 5 to 10 minutes and on Facebook. So those of you who are listening to us online, live on